Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
After today, how many of you love the name of Jesus? How many of you use that name liberally in a good fashion? You call on that name. I love the name of Jesus because I know what it does. I know what happens when we declare the name of Jesus. But one of the things that I love in this series is there's a whole lot more in the name of Jesus than we even know. And for those of you, and like I said just a few minutes ago, we have a lot of new believers that have received Christ. A couple more are already scheduled to be baptized today, right at the conclusion of this service. We're excited about that. But I want to help, and this is going to bless those that have been around for a while. You're going to receive a lot, but I believe that new believers are going to hear so much insight into the name of Jesus, and in the Old Testament, the name of Jehovah. Psalm 83, the 83rd Psalm, verse 18, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all of the earth. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, Jehovah, Jesus, it's all in the name. You may be seated. I am a music junkie. I love music. How many of you love music? How many of you are 70s and 80s fans? How many of you are 90s fans when hip-hop showed up? How many of you are fans of 2000s and 2000? Oh, some 2000, all right. The prepubescent screams of the 2000s. How many of you consider what you hear on the radio today not music? It's overproduced. It's taken a lot of the talent of the artist away, and the talent of production is now the main focal point. I love music. I have a lot of music on my phone. I remember when iPhones first came out, within a week, my iPhone was out of memory, and my dad said, that's because it's a phone, not a jukebox. And I had thousands of downloaded songs on my phone. I said all that to say this, that I like all different kinds of music. I like classic rock. I like 80s music. I like Lionel Richie. I like Marvin Gaye. I like AC/DC. I like Metallica. I like, then I like George Strait, the king of country. I even like Garth Brooks, the prince. He'd be the prince of country. Old country like Tanya Tucker and Randy Travis. And then you got country pop, which I don't really like. Every once in a while there's something. But you said, what are you talking about? There is something in music, though, that turns me off, and it is when the artists think more of themselves than they are. And two of the greatest artists of all time, I usually don't mention names when we're doing this kind of stuff in a negative way because we are online and this will live for eternity unless we choose to take it down. But Jay-Z calls himself Hove. You know why he calls himself Hove? He gets it from Jehovah. He calls himself God. Some of the lyrics in his songs say stuff like, life does not truly begin till the church ends. And so everybody that clamors to hear artists, and he's one of many that have set themselves up like God, when he says Hove and we repeat that, now our worship has taken from the one true God to someone that is a lot lesser than the one true God. Second one that comes to mind is Brother Kanye. And I call him Brother Kanye now because he has given his life to Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I don't know if he's really saved. You would have said the same thing about Paul 2,000 years ago. All I know is he's a lot different than he used to be. All I know is his music glorifies something different than it used to glorify. But for years, Kanye called himself Jesus for Jesus. And our kids, our culture, would say that name more than they would say the name of Jesus. Can I say to the church today, whether it is arts in film, art in music, whether it is the almighty dollar, whether it is politics or politicians, there is only one God, and none of them are on this earth today in a physical form. I don't care how bright you are intellectually. I don't care how creative you are and how big of an influencer you are. I don't care that the Beatles would say 50 years ago that we are bigger than Jesus, because the last I heard is that some of the Beatles have died and have met their demise. Other Beatles are now in the background, but guess who everyone still talks about today? Jesus Christ is still selling out buildings all over the world. You will never be as big as Jesus. No one will ever do what Jesus can do. So I said all of that to say this, that when somebody tries to hijack the name of Jesus, you need to mark that person. You need to pray for that person, but you need to get away from that person, because there's only one that can have the praise and the worship and the glory and the honor, and that is Jesus Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other form, for there is none other name under heaven given by men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only name that saves. Every other religion is a false religion. Every other god is a little g god. We have the only God that says, hey, all those kings, I'm the king of all kings. Every lord you see, I'm the lord of all lords. I know he might call himself Jehovah and he might call himself Jesus, but the last I checked, there's only one that died for me, rose for me, and took the place that I or you would have had to take. John 14:13, whatsoever you ask in my name, there that name is, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Matthew 18:20, where two or three gather in my name, that name that is Jesus, there I am with them. I love the name of Jesus, because when I say the name of Jesus and when we claim the name of Jesus together, all of heaven shows up. Every angel snaps to attention. Every word that has been spoken about you, every word written down in 66 books of the Bible, all of those words now are at our disposal when we say the name of Jesus. When I say the name of Jesus in a hospital, the healing Jesus shows up. When you say the name of Jesus in a courtroom, the advocate, the counselor shows up. When you say the name of Jesus in the crack house, the deliverer shows up. When you say the name of Jesus, when you're looking at divorce, the restorer shows up. The reconciler shows up. When you say the name of Jesus about your prodigal son, the Father shows up. I love the name of Jesus. Not just the church. We must utilize this power everywhere. Speak the name, pray the name, declare the name. We talked last week that Genesis tells us the account when Adam was naming the animals and he saw the hippopotamus. It wasn't a hippopotamus until he called it the hippopotamus. He didn't call a hippopotamus because it was a hippopotamus. Stay with me. It was a hippopotamus because he called it a hippopotamus. Your situation is what you call it to be. I have found it to be true that whatever you call someone something, that's what it is or that's what it will become. This is why a few years ago I took out the phrase. I hear this phrase every week of my life. I hear it from pastors. I hear it from saints. I hear it from heathens. I hear it from some of my best friends. Most of them I correct in a loving way. But you got to do away with this phrase. It is what it is. It is not what it is for a believer. It is what I call it to be. If I don't like a situation, I can invoke the name of Jesus. I can declare the word of God, and that situation has to bow to the name of Jesus, not to the name of Brandon, not to the authority of Brandon, but the authority of Jesus Christ that now resides in me. I can say what I want to see. Doctors can tell me, listen, you pay doctors to see what they, to say what they see. But quit saying what you see and start seeing what you want to say. Start seeing, and when you see it, and when you start speaking it, and when you start saying it, it starts changing. It starts shifting. When you say the name of Jesus, everything starts lining up. Romans 4:17, calling those things that are not as though they were. Some people would say, well, that's just blab it and grab it and name it and claim it. No, in faith and in authority, it's what God has given us the power to do. And you say, Pastor, this seems a little out there for for me. I'm here to tell you, I've walked through some valleys. I've had some doctor's reports. I've had some things that were uncomfortable in my life. And instead of wallow in my misery, instead of letting those things be a death sentence for my life, I begin to declare the word of God in the name of Jesus, and my life began to follow my word. You say what you want to see. The atheists say that God doesn't exist. They are correct. He doesn't exist in their world. The agnostic says that God doesn't get involved. They are correct. He doesn't get involved in their world. Are you following with me? Some say that God is late. They are correct. By their timetable, he is late. Some say that God doesn't heal. They are correct. He will not heal those that say he doesn't heal. But for those of us that say God is real, he's real. For those of us that say God is working, he's working. For those of us that say God is an all-time God, he's an all-time God. For those of us that say God is, God will show up, God heals, he is, he shows up, and he heals. God either can or he can't. Either way, you're right. God doesn't fill people with the Holy Ghost. You're right. He'll never fill you, because that's what you think. God doesn't heal. This is not that dispensation of time. You're right. You will die of every death sentence the doctor says they see in your body. But for us believers, what we say is what we will see. If I don't like what I'm seeing, I'm going to start saying something different. You say, is this a Jehovah series, a Jesus series, or a word series? It's all the same. But there's no need to declare the word of God unless you declare it in Jesus' name. This is why you'll always hear me praising and extolling the name and the character of Jesus Christ. I have declined invitations here in our city. I have declined invitations in our state to come to interfaith rallies and share the platform with Muslims and Buddhists and people that serve the little g gods. And you say, why would you do that? Because for me to sit or stand on the platform elbow to elbow with my Muslim counterparts would make that Jesus is like Allah. And I am sorry, Jesus is not like Allah. I am sorry, Jesus is not like Buddha. I will not share the microphone. I will not share the platform with anybody that says there's another name that you can get to heaven, because I'm here to tell you, Jesus is the only way. Now, I will share it with the Pentecostals, the Baptists. I will share it with the Methodists and the Episcopalians and the Presbyterians, because we all come under the umbrella of Jesus. And I'll do my best in those moments to get everybody filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I will do my best to let everybody know that God still heals, that God still works, that the gifts of the Spirit are still for us today. I'll do my best, but I cannot share and dumb down my God by letting you have the same opportunities that I have. Now, if you want to let me go last, if you want to do your thing and then I can come in and go last and I have the final say, talking about the final God and the only God, then that's another story. The Old Testament is types and shadows. I saw a statistic the other day that says over 80% of Christians never read the Old Testament. They just stay in the New Testament. You say, well, that's the old law, that's the old covenant. The Bible says that Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy it, I came to fulfill it. The Old Testament is Christ. Christ is in the Old Testament. Every book in the Old Testament is a foreshadow and a type of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament points. There is a Messiah coming. There is a Messiah that is on his way. The Old Testament declares that Jesus is on his way. But I love the New Testament too, because the New Testament, a person and a substance named Jesus shows up. The New Testament now declares not he is on his way, he is already here. He is already moving. He is already working. But you know what I love about where we stand in 2021? Not only can we talk about the world before Jesus, not only can we talk about when Jesus showed up, but here we stand on this side of the upper room, and now we get to talk about what the world looked like before Jesus, what the world looked like when Jesus showed up, but now what the world looks like with the power of the Holy Ghost at our fingertips. For those who've taken notes, write this down. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Testament. Jehovah of the Old Testament. And here's where we really start our Jehovah series, because the Jehovah in the Old Testament, you have to realize when you say the name of Jesus, you are really talking about every Jehovah, all seven of them that we're going to cover in the next couple weeks. Every Jehovah, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Sitkanu, Jehovah Shalom, all of these, when you say the name of Jesus, you're bringing every office that God has ever taken part in. You're bringing it to where you are today. So when you say Jesus, you're not just talking about the olive-skinned man that walked for 33 years. You are talking about the God that was before time. You're talking about the God that created the earth. You're talking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He is one God with three manifestations: Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. However, our God has a name, and that name is Jesus. He wasn't God away from us forever, because the Bible says in Matthew 1:23, it's Christmas time almost. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she will bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God is with us. Stepped out of heaven and said, let me show them a different manifestation of who I am. God is so big that one body couldn't hold him. See, for some of you that are having a hard time wrapping your mind around the triune God that is found in Jesus Christ, remember this, that God is so big that one entity can't hold who he is. He's too big. See, my name is Brandon Fender. I am a husband to Mandy. I'm a father to Tyler and Jaden. I'm a pastor to many. I am a friend to many. I am Bishop Steve and Pastor Becky's son. I am Sean's brother. Those are manifestations of who I am. But there is one man. His name is Brandon Fender. When you look at the Holy Spirit, you say, is the Holy Spirit God? Yes, he is. Is the Father God? Yes, he is. Is Jesus God? Yes, he is. Jesus is the name of God. You say, what about Jehovah? He's God too. It's all the same God. And so when you say Jesus, every one of them shows up. I love this. He's one God, but he's too big for one body. Matthew 3:16, verse 17, this is when Jesus is baptized in water. It is the only time in all of the scripture where every manifestation of Jesus shows up at once. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and saw the Spirit of God. There the Holy Spirit is. Descended like a dove and lighted upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven sounding like Morgan Freeman said, this is my beloved son who I am well pleased. There the Father is. One moment, the triune God shows up, but there's one Jesus that we see. And I am here to tell you, every time you worship, all of God shows up. Every time you pray, all of God shows up. Every time you get in the Word and have a Devo, all of God shows up. That's why there is not one enemy on the face of the earth that can handle one manifestation of God. But when I say Jesus, every manifestation of God shows up. Haven't got to the names yet, but Jehovah Shalom, that's peace. Jehovah Shammah, God is with us. When I say Jesus, peace shows up. Remember, Jehovah Shammah, the God of peace, or Shalom, the God of peace. What did Jesus? Jesus said, I am the Prince of Peace. They're not different, they're the same. When you say Jesus, every Jehovah, every manifestation of Jehovah shows up. I love it because it's all found in one name. Aren't you glad that we're not saying, our Father who art in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Jehovah Sitkanu, Jehovah, you just say Jesus. When the 18-wheeler sideswipes into your lane, you don't have time to say every name, but we always say Jesus. In times of craziness in your life, when the rug is jerked out from under your feet and you feel faint and you start falling and they catch you, a lot of times you groan, Jesus. It's that name that invokes every office that God has ever been in. And every manifestation of God shows up to where we are. Have you ever seen somebody that worshiped so hard that they literally fell out in the presence of God? You say, is that fake? No, it's real. You say, what does that happen? Because there's not one human being when all of God shows up that can stand. That's why we take a knee. That's why some of us fall out. Why? Because all of God, you might get by with a little God. You might just need a little God, but hey, the devils I'm fighting every week, I need all of God to show up. And when I say Jesus, Jehovah comes with them. Jehovah comes with them. Somebody say it's all in the name. It's all in the name. When you and I invoke the name of Jesus, the God of the Old Testament shows up. Jehovah shows up. The Holy Spirit shows up. And Jesus himself shows up. When I need a healer, he turns into the great physician. Really doesn't turn into it. He is. God, I need some advice. He said, well, I'm a counselor too. God, I need some help with growing. He said, well, I'm the rose of Sharon. I know how to grow. I know how to produce beautiful things. See, whatever you need him to be, that's why you don't have to call him for what he is. You just call him by that name. Jesus. Jesus. Mandy doesn't call me husband. She calls me Brandon. Then I found out like 10 years in our marriage that in text conversation she refers to me as B. I've never heard that. But she calls me by my name. She calls me by my name because that's what gets my attention. That's what when someone says Brandon, even if they're talking to another Brandon, I look. Y'all know where I'm going with this. That's why Jesus is not a curse word. Because every time you say the name of Jesus, Jesus looks. Every time you locked your keys in the car and you said Jesus Christ, he looked. And then he saw you weren't praising, you weren't glorifying, you weren't praying. And he said, why is it that my name has been dubbed down to profanity when you've lost the sight that there is power in that name, that the very God that created you, the God that died for you, when you say his name, Jesus, whether it's worship or profane, he looks. That excites me, but it should terrify the profane. It excites me that in my weakness, when it's just a Jesus, that he looks. I haven't talked about it a lot, but when I had those kidney stones, I laid out here in the parking lot. I'm honest to God, laid out here in the parking lot, and all I kept saying was, Jesus, Jesus. You know what I wasn't saying? Mandy, where's Mandy at? I need Mandy. Nope, she wasn't on my mind at that point. I'm sorry, babe. I got a $1,600 ambulance bill. I know what. I heard you back there. I'm saying the same thing. What? If you had told me in that moment it's going to cost $10,000, I would have said, take me anyway. I don't care. Because in pain, sometimes it's not Jesus. Sometimes it's Jesus. And he looks. That's why we gotta use it right, and we got to use it often. Because when we say Jesus, he looks. When we say Jesus, he pivots. When we say Jesus, and let me tell you what, I love this. God showed me this week when I was studying some more of this out. Anytime you say Jesus and he looks, all of heaven looks where God looks. So every angel in heaven, when I say Jesus and Jesus looks at me, every angel, no matter what's going on in the world, they look with Jesus. And Jesus says, you hear that? I'm dispatching you right now. Go help, go heal, go deliver, go set free, go restore, go soothe, go apply the ointment, go whatever's needed, go do it. That's why Jesus, listen, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts, a lot of Christian podcasts, but mostly business podcasts. Those business podcasts sometimes don't have the best language. I don't like profane language. I don't like four-letter words. I don't like, one of my favorite influencers is terrible with it, and he makes excuses for it all the time. But I'm going to tell you what, you do not sound near as cool or smart as you think you do. You sound like you don't know what to say, and it becomes a filler word. But I can sit through a movie with a couple of those. But the moment they start throwing Jesus' name around, I don't want to be in the movie theater that Jesus looks at when Jesus' name is used and then wonders why a pastor's sitting there and no worship's going on. Come on now. Why is a pastor sitting in a room where Jesus Christ was just used but no prayers going on? There's no laying hands going on. There's no spiritual value happening there. I can handle a lot of things, but the moment somebody starts using God's name in vain, the moment somebody trivializes Jesus Christ as a word of doom and gloom and something bad that just happened, I'm sorry, I got to bounce. Why? Because that name saved me. That name healed me. That name kept me married. That name made me the husband and father that I'm supposed to be. I can't let you. You better glorify that name. That's my, and man, we're not even getting to where I need to get to today. That's why, I deal with a lot of agriculture, horse people, farm people, ranchers, and let me tell you something, sailors ain't got nothing on their mouths. But I'll tell them, when they're on my property and they say something crazy about Jesus or GD this, I'll just look at him right and I say, you better praise that name. Wait, what? I say, you better praise that name. Well, I'm sorry. I said, yeah, I'm a believer. I'm a pastor of a church. And then they always say this, like nine out of ten times. Oh, yeah, I watch Joel Osteen. Hey, buddy, I like Joel Osteen, too. He's a great friend of our families, but that's the wrong J name. It's Jesus Christ. Joel can't do nothing for you but preach at you, smile at you, love you. Sell you a book every 18 months. Love you, Joel. You need to be careful how people use that name around you. If you're in their house, leave their house. If they're in your house, get rid of them out of your house. Oh, I knew that wasn't going to fly. That's all right. In the Hebrew scriptures, the name of God is recorded as Yahweh. But Yahweh, not as we see it. It's YHWH because there's no vowels in Hebrew. Jehovah is the Latination, the Latin version of the Hebrew Yehoah. There aren't any J's in Hebrew. For example, Jeremiah was actually named Yirmayeo. Yahweh to Yehoah to Jehovah. That's where we get Jehovah. It is the Latin pronunciation of Yahweh. Before Jesus would come, they would say Jehovah. To the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that is Yahweh. Anytime you see God used in the Old Testament, it is Yahweh because the name of Jesus has not been given to that God yet because Jesus had not been born. You may be saying, Pastor, what does all this mean? I want everybody that sits here today, everybody that views online or will ever watch or listen to this archive for many years to come, when you say the name of Jesus, the God that created you, the God of this world, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jehovah God, and the Holy Spirit, all of them show up when you say the name of Jesus. Which leads us to the first of seven, Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. Give me 5 minutes. God will provide. I started with Jehovah Jireh because it is the most popular of all the Jehovah names, and it is very easy to see why it is the most popular, because we are a greedy people. Jehovah Jireh is about the provision of God in us. Jehovah Jireh is preached about bigger bank accounts. Jehovah Jireh is preached as we, the Western church, get fat and sassy. But I am here to tell you, God wants to provide for us far much more than money or anything money could buy. Genesis 22, verse 2. And he said, take now thy son. This is Abraham and Isaac, take now thy son, thy only, one and only son, whom thou lovest, and get into the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Offerings. Talking about an offering. I thought we were talking about what God gives us. Before we could talk about what God gives to us, we need to talk about what we give to God. before we hear this Jehovah Jireh proclamation in verses 22 and as we go or in verses 14 and 13, before we get to that place, we need to see what would cause Abraham to declare that God is Jehovah Jireh, the God that will provide. Before we can get to that, we get to the account of Abraham and Isaac. And God said, hey, I'm requiring something of you today. And Abraham said, shoot, God, whatever it is, you've never led me astray. Whatever the sacrifice, whatever the offering you require, I will give it. And so God said, I'm glad you said that. I need you to go to the land of Moriah. I need you to take everything you need with you for your sacrifice. And oh, yeah, grab Isaac by the hand and take him too. And I'm sure Abraham thought, oh, man, God is passing some things over. We're going to teach Isaac what it means to sacrifice. And God says, no, Isaac is the sacrifice. You know what's crazy in this entire story? I'm not as good as Abraham because Abraham doesn't even ask him to repeat it. Abraham starts packing and says, Isaac, we got to go. Offerings are made in comfort. Sacrifices are made outside of our comfort zone. If you want to stay where you're at, just offer whatever you have, whatever's left over. But if you want to move to the place of provision, if you want to meet God as Jehovah Jireh, your provider, if you want the God of provision to rule your life, there are some sacrifices that are going to have to be made. And those sacrifices only happen outside of the comfort zone. If you are comfortable, you are not growing. If you are comfortable, you are not going. If you are comfortable, there is no new provision in your life. I've shared this many times, but I'm going to share it again because it's been a few years. Did you ever hear the story about the hen, the chicken, and the pig that were going to the revival? They'd been having a revival all week long, and the preacher at the revival said, hey, this last night of revival, I need everybody to bring an offering. I need everybody to give big. It's the last night of revival, and God's done so much, but we need everybody to do their part. And so little Miss Chicken and Pig went home, and as they're getting ready for that day, that night's final service, the pig comes over to the chicken coop and says, don't forget, we're giving offerings tonight. And the hen said, yeah, I'm gonna give a dozen eggs. He said, well, Pig, what are you going to give? And the pig said, well, I've been struggling on what I can give. And the hen said, I have an idea. I'm going to give a dozen eggs. Why don't you give a pound of bacon? And the pig looked at the hen and said, for you to give a dozen eggs, that is an offering. But for me to give a pound of bacon, that is a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice until it hurts. It's not a sacrifice until you say, ouch. It's not a sacrifice. Come on now. In the last 2 years, I've given the largest two tithe checks of my life. I was excited, but I'd be lying to you if I didn't wince a little. You know that smile where you're like, oh, man, this is awesome. Wow. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Can I tell you, church, and I'm closing with this in just a couple minutes. Can I tell you, church, coming to church for 90 minutes on a Sunday is not a sacrifice. That's an offering. You say, well, I come Wednesday nights too. That's an offering. Well, my kids come on Saturday nights. That's an offering. You've just labeled 6 hours to God out of 168 hours a week. If we just talk about the tithe of our time, 17 hours a week belongs to God. That is what we owe Him. We haven't even started talking about offering. We haven't even started talking about tithe. Offering is what you go above what is required. If God requires 17 hours from me, then my offering's another couple hours. I'm 20 hours into my week with God before it ever even turns into sacrificial. Why? Because that now we're talking about your Netflix time. Now we're talking about our gaming time. Now we're talking about our spa time. Now we're talking about now we can't work the third shift, and we can't. Now we're talking about sacrifice. Now we're talking about what it's costing us. When you get to that place where you're literally thinking and praying, God, I want to do this, but man, this is going to hurt me. That's the sacrifice level. Sacrifice leads to the greatest provision we have ever seen.
Verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, and went unto the place. If you've got a Bible, actual pages, I want you to highlight or circle the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place. There it is again, second time, circle it, highlight it, afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Then we'll come again to you. One of the things that I don't know if Abraham even understood what he said. Abraham said, you stay here. We're going to worship and we're coming back. Hold on, Abraham. I thought you were sacrificing your son. I don't know if Abraham had faith in that moment, or I don't know if that was God doing the talking for. But when Abraham says, hey, we are going to worship and we are coming back, what he's saying is I know what God requires of me, but I also know that God is going to work in my life. And no matter how the end of this story plays out, I believe that Isaac is coming back down the mountain with me. The place. Worship always precedes provision. Worship always precedes provision. If you need something, church, worship God. You don't need something, you need God. And when you worship, God shows up. God will give us everything we need, but we need God. In worship, you receive God's heart. Before you have God's hand, you must have his heart. That's why I love worship. I love praise. But I love worship. I still love Lean Back. I listen to it at least 10 times a week. I love to worship God. I love Saturday nights. That team is killing it on Saturday nights. And when I love praise, but when they shift to worship, I mean, something literally, waves come rolling into that building, come into this building. Abraham took the word, the wood, verse 6, and burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac, took the fire in his hand and a knife, and went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father, he said, here I am, son. He said, behold, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where is the lamb? Man, what a conversation a son and a father are having. Abraham said, my son, three words that have changed your life, believer. God will provide. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went up together. When the questions are coming at you, church, God will provide. When the questions are coming at you from those you love closest that don't understand where God is taking you and what God is doing in you, just answer, God will provide. How you gonna make that money? God will provide. Are you gonna lose your house? God will provide. I know that's the second report you've received from the doctor. What do you think? God will provide. Verse 9, and they came to the place. There it is, the third time, circle it, which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called out of heaven and said, Abraham. Abraham said, here I am. He said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son. He said, you were willing to give it all. You were willing to lay it all on the line and sacrifice. When you're willing to sacrifice, what you're willing to sacrifice determines what you're ready to receive. What you're willing to sacrifice determines what you're ready to receive. If I told you today that if you'd let that thing you've been holding on to go, what it would produce in Tuesday, you'd let it go at your seat. You wouldn't even have to come to an altar. If I told you what letting go of that hurt, bitterness, unforgiveness, maybe it is an offering. Maybe if it is letting go of that thing, what God's going to do, if we could see into the future, well, I can see in the future because God sees in the future. And if God requires it of me, I'm letting it go. Why? Because God's trying to get something lesser out of my hands to give me something more. 30 more seconds. Verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, just go figure, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket. Abraham went, took the ram, and offered him up a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham, I love this, called the name of the place. There it is for the fourth time, the place. Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh is not what he called God. It's what he called the place. where God was, where God answered his prayer, where God brought him provision. Jehovah Jireh is that place. He called the place because God was in that place. Because God shows up where worship and sacrifices are made. Everyone's standing on their feet. When you say Jesus, you say Jehovah Jireh. You say the God of the provision, of the place of provision. You say, is it an actual place? That place is wherever God is. So that place where God is where I want to be. If you ever find yourself not in the place where God resides, you are one worship experience away from being right there in the middle of the presence of God. One of my favorite songs right now is from Maverick City and Elevation. And I asked Pastor Baker, I said, I'm shocked y'all haven't learned this yet. She said, it's on the list. I said, praise God, I'm ready. And it's Jireh. See, why I'm preaching this sermon, because some of you have been singing it and you didn't know what it meant. But now when you hear Chandler sing, Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are. It's because of the place that God is bringing you to. I don't know what you need today. I don't know how you're empty. I don't know how your life looks compared to where God wants it to be. Only you know that, but I do know this, that when you call on the name of Jesus, Jireh shows up. The Jehovah of provision, the place, the God, it all shows up to where you are. I want to open this altar right now to men and women all over this building. Maybe families are going to come together. Maybe you've received a bad report from the bank concerning your house. Maybe you're depleted in your emotion, in your spiritual state, and you say, God, I'm going to need some provision. I'm going to need some joy. I'm going to need some peace. Seems like almost every service we talk about anxiety and depression. But it's something that needs to be talked about. It's something that we need to talk, that believers, you don't have to deal with anxiety. There is a God that wants to provide peace. There is a God that wants, you say, how am I going to do that? You walk out of your seat right now and you're walking to where God is. You're making a sacrifice saying, God, I'm going to let this go. I've loved holding on to it. Because holding on to it has given me an excuse not to be what you called me to be. But today I'm letting that thing go. Perhaps, church, it might be somebody in your life that it's time that you cut them loose. You cut them loose, that's a sacrifice. But what you're willing to sacrifice determines what you're ready to receive. And I believe those of you that are in this altar, but I believe those that are still at their seats, that are still contemplating right now, it's time that Jehovah Jireh become more than just a song, and it become a characteristic of Jesus in your life, that I will live with the provision of God. Before I pray for these that are in this altar, is there anybody that wants to give their life to Jesus Christ? Last night, Mario preached a tough word. The series we're in, it's raw, it's gritty, it's real. But as he preached, I'm talking about 80% of every young person in that room was in that altar. Some of them hit their knees, but six hands went up and said, hey, Jesus, I need you. It's what we're all about. If you don't know Jesus today, before you can know him as Jireh, I just want to introduce him to you as Jesus, the Son of God, and the way to heaven. If you've never said yes, this is your moment. Our baptismal pool is ready. We're going to baptize. We've already got two on the docket. We're going to baptize here in just a few moments. If you're ready to be filled with the Holy Ghost, Jireh, he'll provide you with that power that comes through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But for those of you that are in this altar, I want you to lift your hands if they're not already lifted. For those of you at your seats, you become our prayer partners. Stretch your hands forward and begin to pray. Begin to pray in the name of Jesus, Jehovah Jireh.